Good afternoon, my name is Martin Livingstone. I'm one of the pre-sales consultants from HP. Wait for these to come along just when you start. It's always the way, isn't it? Hiya, thanks for coming over. So this is being recorded, by the way. So my name's Martin Livingstone from HP New Zealand. I'm one of the pre-sales consultants based in Auckland. So I was saying to these gentlemen earlier, so thanks very much for being intrepid and coming over. I thought we'd just be like Tom here and someone had walked in off the street. It's a bit of a way to find, isn't it? It's not even on any of the maps. So what I'm going to do is talk about Hyper-V, which is the HP reference architectures, and then we'll also look at how we can package up some virtual system solutions for Hyper-V, and then how to integrate with System Center, what the various integration points are, and then how can we move it up from just plain virtualization to more orchestration and automation. So, if you're familiar with the HP Converged system, so when we look at all these components, the storage, the servers, the networking, security, management software, power and cooling, services, what we do is we've brought all those together into a term at HPCon called Converged Infrastructure. So it's, as well as being HP strategy, it's also an architecture, which means it's modular, you can move things in and out as you want to. So everything interacts with each other, so it's like interoperable pools of shared resources. So what I'm going to talk about, focus on most of the time today, is virtual system. It's a pre-packaged, pre-designed system designed to speed your time to deployment and do best practices from day one. And then we look at cloud system, how that relates to automation, which is a follow-on from virtual system, if you like. And app system is a topic for another day. So virtual systems give you three things, so simplicity, optimization, and flexibility. So the benefit of the simplification is that it's easy to order package, so we've done all the hard work, it's all built in the factory, so it's all pre-wired, pre-integrated, and it's just shipped to you as a complete working running system. So the optimization part comes in because we've designed all the workloads in conjunction with Microsoft for Hyper-V, so we've worked out all the IOPS that we need, we've matched it to the right servers and memory and storage and the throughput, and we've pre-integrated the management tools, so when you actually order the system, it comes fully loaded with the System Center already built up and the servers populated within System Center, all the in-site control integrations are already done, all the storage integrations are already built in, the LINs are already assigned to the Hyper-V clusters and so on. So we've done all that hard work for us, so the idea is around time to value. So once it's actually delivered, you're up and running within 3 days of the kit being delivered to you, so it saves an enormous amount of time, and it's flexible as well, so there's no like, there are some fixed SKUs you can store to one partner if you want to, but we can customize it and you can add to it to allow you to scale up, out, shrink, whatever you want to do with it. So it's family of systems, but we're just focusing on Hyper-V today. So typically if you've had to deploy anything beforehand, so you'll know all the heartache you have to go through, but looking for many different components, whether it's which servers do you use existing storage, or the way out to market, RFPs, looking for new storage, how do we design the network, and then you've got to bring together all these components to create your infrastructure, and so you order a large collection of parts, and then you've got to put them together, and when you have put them together, you then find that you're missing a cable, or you've got to go and update the firmware on this particular vendor storage, which doesn't match these drivers on this operating system, and so on and so forth. I mean, even if you make a mistake, you've got to go all the way back to the start again and start all over, you know, whether it's you made an error in your capacity planning or just your general basic design, you missed something. And you've got to get sometimes outside resources in to do all this work for you. So the part of value of the HP virtual systems is we can do all this for you. It's all done up front, so all you need to do is just choose which entry point of virtual system you want. Let's say you order it as a completely configured system, and then you put your workloads on, make sure it's all okay, and then deploy it. So, shorten that time. So for Microsoft, we have used the HP P4000 left-hand iSCSI storage or three-par storage, which are both storage arrays designed for virtualized and virtualized environments. We have the new Gen 8 servers, where the HP networking will be built into the racks, and then the one of the key parts is the in-site integration with Microsoft System Center. So if you're already settled on Microsoft as your management platform, then that's the way to go, and we'll all integrate with that. And you can also fold in all your existing infrastructure into this as well if you want to. So some of the models that we use for virtual system are, we've named them VS1, VS2, VS3, as you can see. And also in the VS2 level, there's also client virtualization, VDI reference architecture as well, which is similar based onto the VS2. So when we start with the VS1 configuration, the entry point is something like 100 users. So for small companies, it's just two rack mount DL380s and two nodes of P4000 iSCSI storage, plus all the management tools. And then when we go to VS2, that's when you start to get a blade enclosure with six blades, and again, iSCSI-based P4800 storage. So it's all integrated and managed within the rack, and that's about a 500 user entry point, and for client virtualization as well. And then we go to the VS3 scale, which is where we start to use the three-power storage, which again is designed for cloud and virtualized environments. So when we deploy a virtual system, the way it actually arrives on site, you know, once we've plugged it in and connected it to your network, is it only comes preloaded with these servers already built in. So you've got your SQL databases. There's two rack mount management servers at the top there, and that's where we put our virtual machines to manage the infrastructure, Windows Update Server, the SQL servers. There's also the storage management server, so your failover manager server, and the virtual machine manager from System Center. So all these System Center components are already up and running, and like I say, they're already pre-populated at the factory for you. So all the ILOs are already pre-configured and wired up. There's a management network in there, so you're ready to go from like within 3 days of the equipment being delivered to site, or if you like, within 30 days of actually sending in the purchase order. So there's huge time savings there, because you don't have to involve lots of project managers to do all the work and get things done for you. You don't need to go through endless hours of designing and deploying and getting engineers in. All it needs is, let's say, 3 days from delivery to site, and you're fully up and running in a best practices environment. So we based it on the Microsoft Design Principles for their Fast Track Cloud specification. So when we, let's say, we design the networking and the storage and the IOs and the LINs to cope with the infrastructure, and of course we monitor and manage it all the time while we're doing this. So the storage that we use is the, let's say, the left hand, the P4000 iSCSI storage, and also three-power. So on the VS1, we use the nodes of storage, two nodes of storage, but of course you can scale it out. And the good thing about the P4000 iSCSI SAN storage is, we use network RAID, so it's multi-site SAN, so you can have different nodes in different racks or different nodes on different sites. And what we do is we network RAID the nodes together. So you can have network RAID 10 for your storage array. So if a site goes down, the users don't even notice because it's network RAIDed. And so that's based on the rack mount solution. Then when we go to the P4800, again, it's the exact same, it's just on a different form factor. So we use blades for the storage nodes, and then storage in a separate storage tray below. And so we use SAS switches for the interconnection there. But one of the benefits of this solution is that the absolute best way, if you like, to connect your storage to your blades is across the backplane of the blade enclosure, because it's a 10 terabit backplane, so why go all around the network just to connect your storage up to your servers? When we look at the client virtualization solutions for VDI, we also use different tiers of storage. So we either use the solid state drives that will go into the 12 drive slots blades, and then we use a virtual SAN appliance on top of those, or we use the IO accelerators from Fusion.io in the blades as well. So then we have a management server, and then we use the storage that's attached to that particular Hyper-V host to provide SAN services in a solid state format. So that's for like your gold images and stuff that you need to boot. And then your iSCSI block storage would be based on the P4800 SAN storage. And then for any transient data in a VDI solution, you just use like just a bunch of disks, again within the same enclosure and the same format. And then when we have the three-power storage, again, this is designed for virtual and cloud data centers. So this is where we start to get a true multi-tenant clustering. And also, when we say automatic management, we mean itself, it just does things on its own. So you don't need to manage your storage, you just manage your data. So one of the benefits of a P4000 and the three-power storage is that basically, compared to traditional arrays, we get like 90% savings in the way that we actually do and administer these servers. And on the three-power, we also have a guarantee that you can double your VM density on your Hyper-V and VMware hosts, or we can halve the capacity of the storage that you need. So if you've already got an existing, say, Hyper-V farm, you've got 20 VMs running on that nodes, then if you use 3-pass storage, because that takes a lot of the work and the processing away from the servers, then you can put 40 VMs on that server. So again, it's reducing the cost and increasing the availability. Good feature about the 3-pass is if you want to say, you want to add a load to 113 VM host, and it's just 3 mouse clicks to do it. It's all designed for scale and this sort of cloud new storage area. There's no point saving, you know, virtualizing your servers and saving money that way and then we're going to blow it all on managing the storage. So if you bring the 3 together, the storage and networking, the servers and also the management layer, then it's this converged infrastructure, everything works together. So when we look at Hyper-V, so the HP integrations for System Center around the Virtual Machine Manager, the Configuration Manager, and the Operations Manager. So say it's the integrations are designed for customers themselves who've actually settled on Microsoft and System Center as your management platform. But there's nothing to stop you bringing in your existing servers and having a holistic view across all your server estate. So what I was going to do is I was going through this presentation before and I thought there's about 10 slides of screenshots. So what I've done is I've hidden all those. And so what I'll do is I'll just play a short 10-minute video which goes through all the integrations, and rather than me talk through it all and talk all over it, I'll just play the video. That's why I asked the chaps to plug the audio in. So this will show the integrations and I'll let him get on with it.
HP Insight Control from Microsoft System Center brings the native manageability of HP hardware to System Center environments and extends the functionality of HP Insight Control to customers who have standardized on System Center. This demonstration will provide an overview of the core integration features that help customers gain greater control over their technology environments. What we're looking at here is Microsoft System Center Operations Manager. Its primary purpose is to monitor applications, operating systems, and in the HP case, add in capability to monitor HP hardware. When Insight Control for System Center is installed, a set of management packs are installed that monitor a variety of HP hardware. Let's take a look at some of them. The first is Windows Server State. This allows you to see an overall view of the health and the subsystems of the servers that you happen to be monitoring. You'll notice that you get detailed information about the individual server that's being monitored, as well as the overall health state. We also have context-sensitive tasks that would launch directly into the ILO or the system management homepage of that particular server. Looking at the types of devices, we can monitor Windows servers. We can monitor Proliant Gen 8 servers. And so here you see some of the Proliant Gen 8 servers that we are monitoring. We can monitor Blade system enclosures. We can also monitor Linux, VMware, and again, Windows servers. One of the key things in monitoring for the health of servers is to receive an alert when something has gone wrong. Here we see the active alerts view for the Windows server, and notifications have come in that NIC teaming has failed, in addition to all the detailed information on the number of events that have come in for that particular collection. You also see down at the bottom additional details of the exact problem and information on how to troubleshoot it. One of the other things that's very useful is the diagram view. We'll take a look at the diagram view for the blade enclosures. The blade enclosure group is a hierarchy, so this level is showing all the various blade enclosures that we have in our system. As we select one, we're able to drill down and look at things like the device bays, interconnect bays, power subsystem, onboard administrator, and even down into the individual interconnect bays here, showing a Virtual Connect Flex 10 module. You'll also notice that the health status rolls on up, so you have a quick at-a-glance view of the overall health of the blade enclosure. We also have this similar diagram view for servers. The final management pack that I'd like to show you here is the storage management pack that monitors all of HP storage. So you notice that under the main folder, there's a master roll-up of all of the alerts, and then a particular section for each of the individual storage boxes. So in this way, you can receive alerts on all of the HP storage components that you have, as well as see diagram views of the individual components as well. And so you look at the alert, and again, very similar to the server side, you have a set of detailed explanations about what that particular alert is. Now let's take a look at the diagram view. This is the diagram view of a P4000 system. So you start off with the hierarchy of the system group. You scroll down, you see the cluster. We have a single cluster here. And within that is two nodes. So you can view additional information of each individual node and get detailed views of that. And so this provides information and a graphical view of the P4000 cluster. The next set of integrations that we're looking at here is within System Center Configuration Manager. The first thing we're looking at is something called the HP ProLiant Updates Catalog. This is an easy way to update drivers and firmware for Windows servers, and those drivers and firmware come from the HP Service Pack for ProLiant. Here you can see the listing of the bundles that we have, and these can easily be deployed to all the servers or a group of servers within your IT infrastructure. Next, we'll take a look at the capabilities to deploy bare metal servers. HP provides a OS deployment toolkit that includes things like boot images used for WinPE during the deployment, driver packages to apply drivers, as well as a wizard that easily allows you to create a task sequence, which is a step in events that need to be performed in order to do bare metal deployment. Let's take a look at one of those and see what one looks like. This task sequence is created by the wizard that HP provides, and it allows you to do several things. First, configure hardware before you actually load the operating system. So, easy drop-down menus to select things like boot order, be able to configure the smart array controller, be able to configure ILO, as well as preparing the storage, partitioning it, and then applying the operating system, applying the driver packages. So this is the HP specific drivers. So basically all the steps that need to be done in order to take a bare metal ProLiant server and get an operating system loaded on it. And we simplify this process by providing all of the drivers, the WinPE images, and the task sequence all tested by HP to make sure that things run smoothly and efficiently. The last thing that we want to take a look at is something called the HP Inventory Tool, and we'll drill down and take a look at the Collections, which is a collection of HP servers and other items that you would want to perform actions on. So we'll take a look at one of these servers and look at the inventory information that we provide for that. So we'll launch the Resource Explorer. We're not looking at the System Center Configuration Manager Resource Explorer, which is a tool that allows you to get detailed software and hardware inventory. HP adds in, through what we call the inventory tool that's part of Insight Control for System Center, a whole set of additional items that we capture that's done as part of the standard inventory collection. So as an example, what we're seeing is all of the drivers and firmware in the versions, and this is very helpful for doing inventory as well as for troubleshooting. It's important to note that all of this information from HP is put into the standard SQL database used by Config Manager, so that custom reports can be done on it, and again, very useful for inventory collection and troubleshooting. Now let's take a look at some of the features of System Center Virtual Machine Manager. You'll notice here that we have a Hyper-V cluster made up of two nodes called Blade 1 and Blade 2. HP provides something called the HP ProPack that assists with proactive virtual machine management. The HP ProPAT monitors for preventive and pre-failure type of hardware errors. And when one of those occurs, something called a pro tip occurs. And here you see the window for a pro tip that has occurred on blade number one. And what the ProPAT does is it migrates all of the virtual machines that are running on that Hyper-V host over to the other node, and you simply would click on implement to do that. This actually prevents downtime from affecting any of your virtual machines and allows you to move those virtual machines automatically without incurring downtime and before a failure could bring that server down. One of the new features of System Center Virtual Machine Manager is the ability to perform terminal operating system deployments to set up Hyper-V hosts. We'll switch over to the library view, and what you'll notice is that the HP integrations install all of the required drivers that are needed in order to do the deployment. This allows customers to quickly and easily and reliably deploy bare metal servers without having to go and find all the right drivers and inject them into images. All this is assisted by the HP integration kit for SCVML. Once the drivers are there, it's simply a matter of running a fairly straightforward wizard. We'll add resources, add a Hyper-V host, and select a physical computer to be set up as a host, and a set of steps here. It actually uses the ILO to remotely control the server to do this. And as you can see, just by setting IP addresses, this would begin the deployment process, and it would use the drivers that have been installed through the SCVMM integration kit that's part of HP Insight Control for System Center. Once HP servers have been set up as Hyper-V hosts, it'll periodically be required to do driver updates. We provide the same capabilities that we do in the HP catalog with the bundles of drivers and firmware from the service pack for ProLiant. So a baseline can be created that sets which drivers you want to go from the bundles and which servers within your infrastructure you'd like to update. So in this way, through a very simple method, you can keep the Hyper-V hosts and the other infrastructure servers configured with the latest and matched, tested and reliable HP drivers from the HP service pack for ProLiant. And this is provided using the same bundles that are used with the HP catalog.
Okay, so hopefully you can see now how the HP software and integration and Insight Control integrates with System Center. So I just thought it'd be better if he did the talking rather than me. So what happens if you've done your standardization and consolidation and you've done your virtualization, then the next step that follows on is automation. But that's where virtual systems stop. So you've got we virtualize your infrastructure, but then things start to move on now about how do we deploy applications and how do we do infrastructure lifecycle management and application lifecycle management. And how then do we automate things we want to scale up or scale down or respond to events, whether it's, we're needing more database cluster or you're needing more web servers. How do we automate those responses? And the answer to that is to use HP Cloud System software, which will get you to this self-service infrastructure, and then if you wanted to go onwards after that. So the Cloud System, the Matrix software, is a package that you can buy from HP. It's an integral part of our Cloud System pre-packaged infrastructure that you saw in the very start, but with the Matrix software you can buy it and add it to any existing HP virtual system that you already have. In fact, even if you've got any existing, some Dell rack mount servers running Hyper-V, you can add it to that. And so with that infrastructure, you get the service design of the self-service portal, the automatic fusion, the capacity planning. The infrastructure is still fixed and rigid because it's rack mounted in someone else's rather than the ability to deploy networks and VLANs and runs on the SAN automatically. But it's a way to get you into that automation step. And then the next step could be cloud system. But you're on the way to having a cloud and infrastructure as a service then. So a cloud system, basically this allows you to provision infrastructure in minutes and hours rather than weeks and months. So the idea is that you have a service catalogue which gets deployed, and so there's no vendor lock-in. Like I say, it's if you want to use your existing storage, whether it's EMC or IBM, or you need existing network vendor, Juniper or Cisco, it doesn't need to be a total HP stack, so there's no vendor lock-in. You can also integrate and bring in any existing Hyper-V or other hypervisor clusters that are already in your environment. Also looking out now, we've also got KVM and Xen and OpenStack as well. So the idea is to use the one tool to drive all your infrastructure and give you this agility to quickly deploy things. So the way it works is users go to a self-service portal, they access a service catalogue designed by Cloud Maps, and they provision the infrastructure. So the infrastructure gets provisioned automatically, and the infrastructure can be servers, the VLANs they connect to, the LUNs on the SAN they connect to, the operating systems and the applications. And when the infrastructure has been provisioned, then what we do is we can add patches and updates to the provisioned software. And then once it's running, we manage it all the time. So we do constant optimization, real-time capacity planning to give you that ability and information to flex up and down. And then if you've got, once you've finished using the resources, then we can go back into this pool of resources. So for a dynamic test and development environment, we can stand up physical and virtual servers, and then when we finish with them 2 days later or whatever, we can put them back into the cloud, into the pool of resources. So what makes it exciting to do is, previously virtual system was just virtual servers, and this allows you to do the exact same with physical servers. So we treat physical and virtual servers exactly the same. So we can see a cloud map that's been drawn as a combination of physical servers, which are orange, and physical storage, and virtual servers. So if you want to deploy a three-tier application with, say, HPX, Unix database servers, or SQL servers, and then you can have application servers as physical servers, and then web servers, then you can deploy those all together. And the users don't need to know or care where those resources are coming from. So you can deploy your web servers, if you like, out onto the cloud. So they can go on Amazon or Savvis or HP cloud services. And so the idea is to reduce this spill and use the exact same tools you'd use to deploy your hardware environment internally to deploy out to the cloud as well. So with the real-time capacity planning, what we're able to do is identify which Hyper-V or which virtual machines have hardly been used in the last 3 months, because virtual sprawl is even harder to fix than physical sprawl. So we can keep managing our equipment, and we can also put in costs, so we can work out costs for IP addresses, dollars per gigabyte, and how much for servers, and we can roll this up into a service. So we've got the tools to provide chargeback or showback or real-time billing to the end users. So this scales from being a simple development and test environment with just two servers, all the way up to multi-heterogeneous with AIX, Solaris, all the way through to national telcos and cloud system service providers. We can also fail over things together as well. So if you've got the virtualization tools, and if you fail over from one site to another, you're just failing over the virtual elements. So with this, we can fail over the physical infrastructure at the same time as well. So we can fail services over and back again. And again, it's in minutes, and we also have the ability to fail over a physical server to a virtual server on a remote site, and then fail it back to a physical server locally. So as an example here of how long it takes, this is a real life case of how long it takes to deploy a two-tier e-shopping application. So when the user goes to the self-service portal, chooses what they want and clicks the go button, then it gets approved. So the approval is automated as well. So all the governance and compliance and change management is all done up front. So you can just, the administrator can just approve it, or it can go through a change control system with all the necessary rollbacks, etc. And then the infrastructure gets provisioned and the applications, and that's it. So the whole idea behind the virtual system and the cloud system is to dramatically shorten that time to service and time to value, and cut out a lot of the manual steps. So you just do something once, then if you need to do it again, it's maybe a small adjustment, but it's all repeatable and automated. So we use Cloud Maps. Cloud Maps populate the service catalog, and a cloud map consists of templates, which is basically just the instructions on how to deploy the servers and how to deploy the networks and the storage and the operating systems and applications. And so we can import these into the Matrix operating environment, or you can create your own. Within the Cloud Maps, there's also sizes and the workflows and scripts. So the workflows integrate into things like your backup routines or your antivirus or your load balancers. So all this happens together at the same time. It's all automated and through workflows. So like in the old days when you went to the sizer for Exchange or SQL Server, it would just retain how many users you wanted and what size mailboxes, and it spit out a bill of materials, and you give that to the salesman and say, go and order this. Well, now it also spits out one of these cloud maps which you can import, and all you need to do is just use your drop down boxes just to change to say, I want to connect this server to a management network, or I want to connect to my backup network. So some infrastructure that are cloud maps, these are what are publicly available, and a lot of companies have their own as well. There's a whole ecosystem building up, and this allows developers just to create something once, and then they do all the hard work, they do all the sizing and pre-programming and putting everything together. So again, it shortens that time to service. So I say, if you want to deploy Microsoft Dynamics and you want to integrate it into your F5 load balancers and your Symantec Net Backup, then all the workflows and scripts are already done for you. So once we start to get beyond virtual systems and start to get into true multi-tenancy, this is when we can users have their own self-service portals. So this is when the IT administrators would be setting themselves up as a service provider to either different organisations within the company or different offices or different lines of business, however you want to do it. So you can even have the ability to give each organisation its own administrator, its own group of users. And so this is where you're getting these interoperable pools of shared resources that are allocated to certain users. So they can only stay within those bands. They've only got their own physical and virtual servers to play with. They've only got the servers, the storage and the networks that have been allocated to them. So they can't go deploying things that they're not allowed to. So using the exact same tools, we can also do bursting out to the cloud. So this is if, say, you want to use a test and development environment, then if you want to, say, develop something in the cloud for 4 cents an hour or whatever, it's still your own template, your own server image that you're using. It's still your own governance and security policies. And so when you've actually finished deploying it in the cloud and trialing it and so on, you want to bring it back in-house, then you can do. But the key thing is it's the exact same tools and infrastructure that you use for your physical servers as well as deploying your virtual servers. So an example here is if you, say, you develop and test an application in the cloud, let's say very cheap, you don't need it running. If you go on holiday for 2 weeks, you can turn it off and pick it back up again. But when it comes to actually using it for real within your own infrastructure, then you can bring the infrastructure and just use the same templates and, let's say, modify the drop-down boxes, etc., just to bring them into your own internal service behind your firewall. And then if you need to, like at month end or to meet extra demand from a marketing campaign or whatever, then you've got the ability to burst and get extra capacity from the public cloud. And the key thing is, like I say, it's the same experience you get whether it's traditional IT or public cloud or private cloud. It's the same tools, same experience, same governance.